HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. As Indian markets have seen a robust increase in trading volumes, with equities hitting record high multiple times post-pandemic, brokerage firms have made great business. Bank brokerages reported a strong uptick in earnings in last fiscal, but the retail broking segment has seen a significant disruption in the last few years due to the growing prominence of discount brokerages. So, how have competitively priced offerings of discount brokers and the no-frill basic account and services resulted in the realignment of the pricing strategy across the industry? To discuss that, I'm in conversation with Samriddhi Chaudhary, Vice President and Sector Head, ICRA. Hi Samriddhi, welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen, thanks for having me.
So Samriddhi, you have recently released a very deep, insightful bank brokerage report. So could you take us through what are the key takeaways?
Sure. So we've recently come out with a deep dive on bank brokerages. So as you observed, last one and a half years have been a very positive time for capital markets. We've seen a significant jump in transaction volumes. We've seen indices being at record high and overall a very favorable environment. Q1 of last fiscal, there was some turbulence then. There was correction as well as dip in trading volumes. But thereafter, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there's been a steady uptick. Another trend which has emerged is the increase in retail participation. While the details or data on exact number of retail new investors which have come in may not be available, but a close proxy of that would be the Demat account openings that have happened and which clearly show that there's been a strong surge in investor participation. And a key beneficiary of this has been bank brokerages. Bank brokerages, as you know, have traditionally focused on retail segment of the market. And what we've observed is that there is a healthy uptick in earnings of bank brokerages last year. We've also seen a significant improvement in transaction volumes. So for the purpose of this analysis, we've looked at top bank brokerages in the country. And we observed about over 40% increase in their revenue and nearly 80% growth or jump in profits. Another trend that we've seen is that bank brokerages are increasingly looking at non-broking businesses, be it maybe distribution of financial services, some other value-add products, or even margin funding book. So while entities used to be nearly debt-free a few years back, there has been increase in debt levels or borrowings as well, primarily for funding the margin funding business.
Very interesting, insight on the debt side. We'll talk about that later. But since you mentioned that bank brokerages, and of course, last year after pandemic, especially after lockdown, markets have seen a phenomenal run. And all brokerages, including those backed by banks, have benefited from that. My question is, of course, whatever markets will not be in a permanent bull run, there would be times when the markets would probably get into a correction phase, and probably the retail investors, the kind of retail investors participation that we saw in the last few months have been record high. So once this dies down, the wave dies down, what do you think about the bank brokerage business then?
See, while we do understand the kind of frenzy that we've seen, it's perhaps not sustainable in the long run. There quite a few factors which were maybe more conducive for this kind of participation in capital markets, and it may not last throughout. Intuitively, when maybe the pandemic started, it just seemed very odd that why are transaction volumes picking up and all, like if the economy is reeling under pressure, if job certainty, etc., that is under question, then why is there so much of interest in capital markets? But what we figured in basis discussions with various stakeholders and all is that maybe things like work from home opportunity. There were limited other investment options which were available. And post the correction that had happened in Feb and March of 20, the valuations were attractive, and that did attract a lot of retail investors. So that kind of momentum, it perhaps could slow down. But again, another thing is the market still remains a fairly large market, fairly unpenetrated market. So there is ample of room or opportunity for the market to expand, the entities also to continue to keep adding clients. Discussions with various brokerages or what the media statements and all that we come across, there's a lot of push from newer geographies, maybe tier two geographies or younger demographics, like younger investors coming into market. So there is ample of room to grow. But yeah, we also feel that there is going to be some correction or moderation in the kind of transaction volumes that we've seen. In fact, if you've been tracking it pretty much, if you start from April of last year, barring a few months, maybe like in August or maybe May of this year, barring a few months, every month there is a steady increase in transaction volumes, and every month we feel that this is the peak. So sooner or later, it will moderate. But in the long run, if you see, there is quite a bit of market still left to explore.
Okay. See, now when we're talking about brokerage business, it's not possible to go ahead with the conversation without mentioning the retail, the online brokerage business, which have really mushroomed the last 1 or 2 years. And a few of them are doing phenomenally well. And in fact, they are actually, they manage the major portion of the active clients in both the Sensex and NBSE and NSE. What do you think about the competition that these traditional bank brokerages are facing? Are they losing clients? Are they losing business? Or are they kind of coexisting in an environment where there is more room to spread?
Sure. So discount brokers as such are not new to the Indian markets. They've been there for over a decade. And in fact, we have seen their impact on the entire competitive landscape in the past decade. I mean, if you've been tracking these entities for some time, you'd have seen how the yields in the industry has moved over the years. And now, I mean, we are talking about wafer thin yields across players. But yes, it's last couple of years wherein their impact on the industry has been more palpable. We were talking about the earnings growth for bank brokerages a while back. So while FY21, it's been a very strong year from an earnings point of view. If we talk about market share in terms of active clients, or if we talk about market share in terms of transaction volumes, there that would have come down. These entities would have ceded market share. And that's primarily because of the pace at which the market is expanding.
About the brokering business, you have made some estimates about the broking income for this companies. Could you throw some light on that?
Sure. So we've in our analysis, what we've done is we've looked at pool of top five bank brokers. And based on that, we've looked at how the income has increased over past few years, particularly looked at YOY increase for last year. And thereafter, we've also tried to estimate what kind of growth is possible. So for FY22, we're estimating about 20 to 25% growth in their income, along with a 17 to 20% growth in their PAT.
Okay, what about the non-broking business? You mentioned about the non-broking side that these companies are diverging into. Could you share some business points and how they're actually extracting revenue from those?
Sure. So non-broking businesses, I mean, what we've seen is entities are looking at maybe things like distribution of financial products. It becomes like an ancillary, a related business. I mean, you can target your existing clientele, and it's an additional investment product, a different investment product, like from equity investments, it becomes like a mutual fund or so. A few years back, perhaps there wasn't so much of push for this because it could be thought of as maybe a competitive product. But thereafter, we've also seen the mutual fund industry also evolve. There's been quite a lot of push from AMFI for supporting the industry. And we've seen bank brokerages also actively look at the distribution business because there is a lot of investor interest as well. Apart from that, we've seen entities do some kind of value add, like a PMS or some kind of value add investment advisory business. And most importantly, there's margin funding business, which has picked up since the guidelines were revised by SEBI. So from a fairly non-existing book, it's for certain entities, it's a very sizable book now.
Okay, so it's very interesting you mentioned about margin funding, and this is SEBI made a few changes in its regulations last year. Could you throw some light on how much has this contributed to the business?
So in terms of share in, say, total income, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, and how much are they diverging into that business, and has this become a revenue earner at all?
So it is a revenue earner. I mean, you will have, if you see financials for bank brokerages, I mean, your net interest income, that is a positive. So it's definitely a profitable line of business. Broking business as such does remain a predominant share of revenue pool overall basis. I think broking income would be upwards of, say, 50% of total revenues. But the trend is that non-broking businesses are going to pick up, and their share is also going to perhaps get stronger.
Okay, you mentioned about debt level increasing because of this. So could you explain how?
Sure. So margin funding business, so this is like a facility being given to the client, or a funding which is being given to broking clients. So to fund that, we've seen entities avail debt, particularly CP, bank brokerages. I mean, we've seen the use of CP for funding this particular business. And it tends to be a short-term facility, which is in turn, say, backed by securities. And thereafter, it's like a daily it's a regular margin call, active monitoring of the margin which is there. And, in terms of the security cover, which needs to be there, that's maintained throughout.
So has debt level increased because of this?
So debt level, yeah, there has been an increase that's happened. I mean, if you look at industry-wide gearing, it was fairly low a few years back. At an aggregate bank brokerage level, in terms of the pool that we'd collated, I mean, it would be maybe around 0.6 times as of March 21 from a very low 0.2 times 3 years back. So while it has increased, but I mean, it's still less than one times gearing. So it still remains moderate.
Okay. All right. All right, Samriti. On that note, thanks a lot for sharing those insights. And thank you for sharing your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Asri.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at @nasreenstory. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.